We thank thee, Lord, for thy holy word and its power to improve our lives so that they may more and more glorify our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Please apply to thy word to our hearts now that it may bring forth in our lives the fruit of godly living to the glory of his name. Amen. Live in the new you. This is Paul's theme in this portion of Ephesians 4. He says in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. He's a new creation. He said earlier we should walk worthy of the vocation to which we were called. And in this portion, he tells us how to do that. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've been called to be children of God, to be the light of the world. And so now it's our responsibility to walk in that newness of life that Christ has given us. Now the two great themes of the gospel are sanctification and justification. Justification takes place outside of you. The catechism says it's an act of God's free grace wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. So justification is the work of God. It takes place outside of you based on the good works of Christ which are imputed to your record. It doesn't change you at all. It just changes your legal status from guilty to innocent. It's the work of a judge. Sanctification, which Paul is concerned with in this portion, is God's work as a physician. This is his work in you. It's not an act like justification, it's a work that begins in you in the new birth and continues for the rest of your life, making you more and more in the image of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing, the new life in Christ. It really is. Some of you may have been reared in a Christian home, a Christian church, and if you had a conversion experience at all, it wasn't a dramatic change in your life. But for me, it was over a half century ago I was converted. It was a very dramatic change in my life. It amazed me. It just astonished me, and my family and friends as well. A new creature was for sure. It's a miracle. You know, the age of miracles has passed, except for one miracle that continues, and that's the new birth. The new birth is a miracle. You have experienced a miracle when God raised you from spiritual death. He says, now that you're that new person, you need to take the responsibility of living like that new person. Because the old nature, the old man, the sin nature, is still with us. It doesn't control us anymore, but it's still able to mislead or tempt you. And thus, this commandment to put it off and to put on the new. Now, let's begin in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Don't walk like, these people are Gentiles. He says, but don't act like your other Gentile neighbors. They're like us. We live surrounded by unsaved people. And he says, don't live like them. Don't walk like them. In the vanity of their mind. Their minds are vain. They're empty. They're empty of real value. They may be very intelligent. The unsaved is spiritually empty. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they came from, and they don't know where they're going. They live a meaningless life. That's the old way of life. The next characteristic of the unsaved person is this: having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. their understanding is darkened. They may have several advanced degrees from a university and be very intelligent. But the youngest Sunday school child who knows the basis of the gospel has more wisdom than the wisest heathen. They're alienated from the life of God, and he gives two causes for this. The root cause is the blindness of their heart. That produces the ignorance. Their hearts are blind. Now God, the apostle tells us in Romans 1, has clearly revealed to everyone on earth who he is by the works of nature. They can't avoid it. The book of nature everywhere reveals God's power and Godhead. And yet they close their eyes to that. They're willfully blind. They shut their eyes to what God has shown them. They attribute all that they see to evolution, time and chance. It's a meaningless universe, randomly put together. Really? All this beauty and complexity is just random, meaningless? He's ignorant of the true reality of being. You know, if you see a beautiful tree in bloom in the spring, you look at that and you think, how can anyone see that tree and not believe in a creator and great artist who did it? You know what the unbeliever thinks? Oh, it's a tree in bloom. You say, well, it's beautiful. Yes, it's beautiful. Mother Nature does some wonderful things. Mother Nature. That's about as heathen as you can get. And you hear it from sophisticated people in Western culture. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Past feeling. Their conscience is seared as with a hot iron. Did you ever burn your finger? And for a while afterwards, where it was burned, it's numb. You can't feel anything. It's seared from the heat. Paul says that's the way the conscience of the unsaved is. It no longer feels the pangs of guilt that it should feel. Now, if we have an active Christian influence in a culture, as we used to have in this nation, unsaved people may have a more active conscience by common grace and therefore some outward goodness. But when a civilization departs from God, as ours has, the conscience becomes seriously, seriously seared. And what does Paul say they do then? They give themselves over to lasciviousness, sexual sin. I don't know how many of you ever watched Gutfeld. Sometime before I go to bed, I watch because it's the news, but it's from a kind of a lighthearted perspective. A couple of days ago, I was watching Gutfeld. And you know, in the beginning, he introduces his guests. He introduced one man. He says, this man is gay. And everybody thought, ha-ha, that's wonderful. He said, yes, I'm gay. I turned the channel off. No conscience at all. I do unnatural, abominable things, and I'm proud of it. I think you should celebrate it. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That's a remarkable text. You've learned Christ, you've heard him, and you've been taught by him. It's a parallel to chapter 2, verse 17, where Paul told the Ephesians, Christ came and preached to you. And Christ is in heaven. How did he come and preach to the Ephesians? Well, if a minister preaches his word, Christ preaches his word through him. So he says, Christ came and preached to you, and here he says, you've heard Christ, And he's taught you. He says, you've learned from Christ, not from Paul. And here's what you learned, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. That's the truth that Jesus came and taught them, that they put off the former way of life. The former conversation, you probably know that conversation in our older English Bible means conduct. In present speech, it's simply speech, but it meant all sorts of conduct. The way you act, put off the old way. And if Paul is using here a very familiar metaphor, it's like changing clothes, putting off and putting on. We find exactly the same one in Romans, Colossians, Hebrews, James, and Peter. The picture of this is that your old life, you're clothed in filthy robes of sin, rags. And in conversion, you put that off and you put on new robes. You put on a robe of righteousness. And that's a whole new person. It's not just that you have new ideas and opinions, you do, but you're a new person. You have to make a conscious effort to put off the old you, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. The desires of the old nature are deceitful. The desire for wealth, the desire for power, the desire for popularity, the desire for pleasure, they're deceitful. Why? Because they promise great reward and they leave you robbed. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is the human spirit, which is renewed by the Holy Spirit. You need a whole new way of thinking. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who does this to your mind, but it's very important because, you know, your mind controls everything you do. Your mind is renewed, your whole way of life will be renewed. Put off the old garments and put on that's the negative, the filthy rags. Now comes the positive, that you put on the new man, which after God is renewed, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Putting off the old shameful rags and followed by putting on the beautiful robe of righteousness and true holiness. Righteous, that's the second table of the law, right dealing with your neighbor. Holiness, that's the first table of the law, your duty to God. In Colossians, Paul says that the new you is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, men and women were first made in the image of God, or I should say man and woman, Adam and Eve. But by yielding to Satan and disobeying the Lord, they became damaged. The image of God became distorted. It's still there, but it's distorted. It has to be renewed. Instead of righteousness, we have hatred for their neighbor and contempt, wars. Instead of holiness, they want nothing to do with the true God. The new you can live in righteousness and holiness because the new you is in Christ. I love Paul's text. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Now the apostle addresses some of the particular sins of the old unsaved person, the things we should put off. The first is lying. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. There are missionaries who can tell you that there are cultures where everyone lies. You know, Paul said the Cretans were all liars. They think it's smart. You get an advantage by lying. Lying is of the old nature. Rags. One of the first vices to appear in little children is lying. Scripture says children are strayed from the womb. They go astray from the womb speaking lies. Now, Jesus says the devil is the father of lies. Jesus is the truth. So how horrible for a Christian to act like the devil is his father by being a liar. But in an increasingly secular culture, lying along with sexual immorality has become also widespread. Just think of some of the statements made by politicians in prominent and highest places. You know, and often the lie is the one thing you'll remember about their presidency. I think of George H.W. Bush. Read my lips, no new taxes. Okay, he was put in office and he raised the taxes. Barack Obama, if you like your doctor, you like your health plan, you can keep it. It was a flat-out lie, and he knew it. As soon as Obamacare kicked in, they took away my health plan because I think I wasn't insured against being pregnant or something. Recently, we heard from the White House that the border is secure with Mexico. They think we're crazy? I mean, you look at the news and every single day you see tens of thousands pouring across the border. The border's secured? You call that secured? It's a lie. And they don't care. We're going to spend maybe up to $8 trillion, but don't worry, it won't cost anything. If you spend $10, it costs something. It costs $10 when it costs. God is a God of truth. We Christians need to be people of truth. People should always trust your word. That's why Jesus said, you don't need to say, I swear to God, this and that. People should just trust you because you're a Christian. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, being angry is not a sin, but it can surely lead to sin. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus did not prohibit anger. He prohibited anger without a just cause. Jesus himself was angry sometimes. It says in Mark 3, Jesus looked on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart. But his anger was not sinful because it was under control. Anger leads to sin most often when you harbor it in your heart. That's why he says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Put it away. Now, you can't take that in a wooden, literal way, because if you, for example, live in Greenland, you have 3 months of daylight. So you can't be angry for 3 months if you live in Greenland. But you get the point. It's good to go to bed with a peaceful heart. Neither give place to the devil. The devil can tempt you, but he can't control you unless you let him. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you have to do the resisting, and if you don't resist him, he won't flee from you. Don't give him place. Don't open up the door for him. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You can't imagine Christ stealing, can you? Or Christ cheating anyone? Nor should a Christian even dream of doing such a thing. As unjust as our tax system is, I pay my taxes because I don't want to steal. You can be unjust you can have unjust business practices that are really stealing. You have a car that you're selling to someone and it needs brakes and you don't tell the person who's buying it that it needs brakes. You've stolen that value. He's going to pay for the brakes. I'll tell you an interesting story about that. Some of you may remember my old Toyota van. I had it for 14 years. Took the family every summer to Canada in it. Took it to North Carolina twice. It was a wreck. I mean, by the time I finally bought a new van. So I was trading it in on the new van. The salesman said, okay, mechanic's going to go look at it now, and he'll give me a number of how much we can give you for it. I said, okay, before you do, I want to tell you what's wrong with it. I had a whole list of things that's wrong with it. Taillight's falling off. The horn doesn't work. If it's raining and you turn a corner, the power steering goes out. I was going to tell him. He said, don't say a word. He says, it's up to the mechanic to determine what's wrong with your car. I said, okay, well, I tried. Now it's on you. All right, I got $1,200 for a car that's probably worth five, but they made money on me, I'm sure. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Wow, this has really changed in my lifetime. No corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, I served in the U.S. Navy. I served in the U.S. Army. I've heard it all. But I never heard growing up what I hear now in public. In restaurants, in stores, in front of women and children, and even women and children with corrupt communication. You know, when a culture goes away from God, it becomes barbarous. The positive is use your speech to minister grace. Now, when it said, don't steal, honest labor instead, and then he gave a reason, so you can have money to give away to good causes. The test of your use of money is how you give it away. The test of your speech is whether you use it to help people, to edify them. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Here's the final reason to live in the new you, so you won't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Just think of all that God has done for you. Loving you, saving you, taking care of you. Don't make God sad by what you do. Live in the new you. Amen. Let us pray. We thank the Almighty God that there is a new you that we all have and can live in, even the image of Jesus Christ who lives in us. We pray that we may live in this new person and show Christ to the world, and thus please our Heavenly Father. Amen.